party and the love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, everybody. Love Line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight. Thank you. Legally Blonde, too. And Legally Blonde 1, by the way. Thank you very much. And she plays Reese Witherspoon's best friend and sorority sister. But what is your character's name?
Serena. She's
Serena,
a Laker girl.
In this new film, she becomes
girl.
A Laker girl.
Yeah, she does.
Number, okay.
She's gotten to bigger and better things, from cheerleading to Laker girl.
I'll have you know that I had to watch Legally Blonde, original Legally Blonde.
28 times.
30? 35, yeah.
Oh, wow. You have kids, so
my
I imagine,
daughter's
like...
just after Miss Congeniality, this took over.
Uh-oh. Oh, really?
Completely.
Miss Congeniality. Flaming turd.
Wow.
Stop. Well, my daughter loved it. What are you talking about?
I know. It's like, she's a tough streetwise cop. They got to smooth out the rough edges so she can join the Miss USA pageant. And she's like... They show her eating a steak with her hands and then swigging a beer and throwing the bottle at the Faye waiter. It's like, you can't pull it together. You can't use a fork on the meat? Really? Just relax. This is what moves. This is why movies usually suck. They go too crazy with stuff. But I saw Legally Blonde as well. And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
You did?
Yeah, I know. It sounds, maybe I sound like a pussy. But
no, you're a smart pussy, though. That's wonderful. We like the pussies.
Well, first off, I've always been a big Reese Witherspoon fan. I mean,
she's hot, right?
She's hot. I can't decide whether she's hot. I guess I'd do her. I guess I would.
No, Matt, she's hot. Look at her breasts. Best breasts in the business.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Really?
They're real.
How
dare you? You have no idea. But
Adam missed that.
She's hot. Yeah. No, I'm hot. Hearing about her breasts. I do think she's hot. I loved her in Election. I thought that was great.
But I think of you with, like, taller, 6 foot blonde girls.
I picture her 6 foot. I've never seen her in real life.
Okay.
I picture you as about 6'4".
There you go, honey.
Are we good?
Oh, I like the way you talk. Okay.
Yeah, she... I just think she's a... I don't know. Like a lot of performers, male and female, these superstars and stuff, they don't really stand out that much. It's like you think... You hear about... Who were you just bringing up with... Sandra Bullock, and you think Sandra Bullock is solid, or Marissa Tomei, they're solid, but Reese Witherspoon really seems to, be talented.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to dedicate the show to her, but she really seems to cut above. I've seen her in a lot of things.
Awesome.
And I would watch a movie if she was in it, and that's why I watched Legally Blonde, but I really did enjoy it. It was kind of a goofy premise that they pulled off. Like, it must have been a tough pitch or sell initially.
Absolutely. I often wonder who the girls were who they were thinking about before they cast Elle Woods. Reese Witherspoon, you think to yourself, okay, was Alicia Silverstone interested in this? Was Drew Barrymore interested in this?
Yeah.
And then for Reese Witherspoon to come in and play this part, it's wonderful to have her in this, because it's believable that a girl, who is, okay, a blonde, she can be a fish out of water, and she can be incredibly intelligent and at the same time funny. So, there's that fine line. It's very hard to...
I don't know how this movie would have worked without her, but I don't know how it would have worked without you either, Missy.
Thanks.
You were great in the first one as well, and I imagine... Now, has your role been expanded in the second one? Or
yes, it's so exciting. It's very, very exciting. And I had no idea that I'd be asked to be in part two. I did a one-woman show called Patriotic Bitch, and the producers went to go see the show. And I wrote it and did about 11 characters based around the World Trade Center and all these women who are trying to get jobs after what happened post-September 11th. And so they watched it, and they were impressed, and they thought, okay... Well, I guess she can walk and talk a little more on this. So let's do part two and put her in a couple of more scenes. So it was really exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so that hits theaters. Oh, July 3rd. Yeah, I love the little...
I think July 2nd.
It says 3rd on here, but
really?
We'll go 2nd.
Well, it could be a day late. It's all good.
Well, you guys maybe could be a dollar early.
Has it had its big premiere yet? Or
it hasn't.
Maybe that's the 2nd.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I'm going to New York tomorrow at 8 o'clock to go to the Hamptons premiere and the New York premiere, and then fly back for the Los Angeles premiere. So
I may just come out with you.
Does that separate
Will you?
Hamptons?
Are you gay too?
Are you gay?
No.
I'm gay.
Come out with me.
I can be gay.
I'm game. I mean.
Oh, you're game?
No.
How about I go with you?
What does that mean exactly? Go.
Do you want to come with me?
I just, I like the idea of going to the Hamptons. I like the idea of.
Isn't that exciting, though?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? But don't you have the man show to do? When do you film that?
I got to do this Carson Daly roast that's, By the way, can you be roasted when you're 26 or however old Carson Daly is?
Well,
he must have some sort of illness I'm not aware of. It should be a posthumous thing.
Oh, maybe so. Okay. Yeah. All right. I got to do that this weekend, unfortunately. But, Drew, you can swing out to the Hamptons.
Yeah,
I'm
intrigued by the idea. There's a Hampton and a New York City premiere.
Well, maybe it figures into the movie. Does the Hampton thing figure into the movie at all?
Actually, you know, I have a feeling that MGM actually owns a theater out in the Hamptons. So they just thought, oh, well, why not? Let's bring them out there, too.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
They're
all game, you know.
How's Reese? Is she pregnant?
She's very, very pregnant. She's all belly.
That's cool.
It's amazing. In fact, we had to go back for some reshoots.
That'd be okay. You're
right.
Yeah. I'm normally not cool with that. You know, it's kind of a policy, but you know what? Rules were made to be broken. Have to work that out.
Reese, if you're listening, you know where he is. Okay. How gay are you? How gay are you? Anyway, yeah, it's pretty amazing. In fact, for the reshoots, they were, like, hiding her behind huge presents and stuff and little tables and everything. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. See, I'm always amazed by that because if I put on 10 pounds, my head gains 6 pounds.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I got pregnant,
You look like a SpongeBob.
Yeah, my head would be the size of Macy's Day. Yeah. So it wouldn't be like, well, Adam's pregnant, so we put him in some sweatpants.
Yeah.
And it's like, what happened to his head? He turned into Jerry Lewis.
Fred Flintstone.
Have you seen Jerry Lewis's head?
It's pretty big. Yeah.
Oh, have you seen Jerry Lewis's new head? He has
his
a new head.
Does he have a new one?
He has a new one.
Oh, my God.
Jerry Lewis has had 3 heads. He had the skinny sort of angelfish head where when he went at you forward, you didn't even see him.
Right.
It's just crazy sort of Frank Sinatra from the 50s head. His serious, skinniest head in the world.
Yeah.
Thinnest head in the world. Then he had the sort of medium adult male head, you know, king of comedy kind of thing.
Well, I was going to say, in the 70s, he was kind of bloated, and he had really huge butt.
Yeah, but no.
That was,
he wasn't?
No, you don't. No, no.
You
haven't
seen the new
head. That was just,
no, the cast of
that's just sort of, sort of adult male filled out, not the... Got my man bones now, head.
Just checking.
Now, mammoth head. He has some kind of head, some disease called grande cabeza syndrome or something. It's a Mexican disease. That's why they all have those big heads.
He's taking steroids.
He's
taking steroids, and people who take steroids develop something called moon faces.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What is it?
Asian slur. How dare you, Drew?
Can you take like a water pill with the steroid?
It's fat. It gets laid down.
Oh, it's not water. It's fat. It's there.
He's on steroids, and he's on the juice because of a disease he has.
No, the anti-inflammatory steroids. These are because he's got, what does he have? He has
a grande cabeza syndrome.
I forget what illness he has, but it's a serious thing.
It's the worst side effect. I mean, you would rather just projectile vomit 24 hours a day.
We
love this
brigade.
Actually,
we're
mammoth head. The moon facies is part of a more general syndrome where they get peripheral limb muscular wasting, central obesity, moon face, big fat hump called a buffalo hump on the back.
That's amazing.
Isn't that nice?
So your lower
half. He and Mickey Rourke.
Ugly medicine. It's really, it turns people ugly.
Your lower half wastes away.
And your ugly
you get a
arms.
Big gut,
yes.
A hump, skinny arms, and a mammoth
and a moon,
head. That's how I'm going
to
end up.
He must look like a UFO to the French. That's why they like him.
Oh, my
And that's
God.
Why they like Mickey Rourke, because he has a really big head, too.
You got to see Jerry Lewis's new head. That's all I'm saying.
Amazing.
Tristan, 19.
Yes.
Yes.
What's happening?
Okay. Well, for the last 2 months, I've been with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was, like, 14, I have not liked going down on guys.
That's okay.
14.
That's right.
Since 14.
Is it important to him that you do this?
Yeah, he...
Were you, at 14, were you sort of traumatized in some way? Did somebody force you to do something you didn't want to do, or...?
That was the first time I ever did it.
Yeah, so that
Well, what, someone forced you?
He pushed my head down.
Okay. What's the
Did
matter
you
with you? Are you angry at everybody?
No.
Well, then snap out of it, would you? Jesus Christ. It's like they're talking to a casket.
It's 1 in the morning where she is. What the hell
Who
are you
cares?
Doing?
everything is, so he forced you? He kind of pushed my...
Well,
get with it, baby doll. Who pushed your head down? Your boyfriend?
At the time, yeah.
Mm. How old was he?
He was 16.
All right. And what's your current boyfriend doing? What is he? How is he reacting to this?
Well, he wants me to.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Well, okay. Well, you're not going to do it.
No.
Wait.
Well, to add to it, he's uncircumcised.
That makes it worse?
No, it makes it way quicker. Sorry.
Oh.
Makes it quicker. There's more sensitive.
Personal turns out experience. When they recently studied that, and it's shown that's not the case.
Never mind.
Yeah.
They studied.
They actually did.
No one studied anything.
Yeah, they have. They've asked guys. You know, they take questionnaires and stuff before and after circumcisions. And
questionnaires.
Is he clean?
Before and after.
Yeah.
Does it make any difference? Do you ejaculate more quickly? Is it? You know,
yeah. Everyone's got their own timer, and that's about it.
Yeah. That's
but.
It.
Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Okay. We live in a society where Jerry Lewis is a mammoth head.
No, and that's okay.
And that's okay. No, we live in a society where somebody, and we do this with women all the time. We never do it with guys and anything else.
Quiet down.
Right. What do you mean, let me finish? You stopped 20 minutes ago.
I wanted to see how she reacted to us saying, well, you're not going to do it, and see where she took it, see what his reaction was.
She was fine with that.
Well, what was his reaction?
I don't got enough time to get everyone's reaction.
Is she off the air?
No. Well, no. He's putting off the air.
Put her in purgatory so I can think for a second.
So I can chat.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. When something bad happens to a guy, it's always sort of get back up on that horse. When something bad happens to a girl, it's you never have to do that again. Don't worry, honey bunch. Now listen, I know sexual things are different. She wasn't brutally raped by her first boyfriend. Her first boyfriend, the way she described it, sort of pushed her, sort of helped her along with the oral sex. She didn't enjoy it. That was 5 years ago. She just never engage in oral sex for the rest of her adult life now in any relationship because when she was 14. Yeah, there's where something may
happen. That's why they have jams and jellies and honey and stuff like that because so you can like it all over again.
Kristen, what happened to you before when you were a kid? Something you see something bad or something bad happened to you?
When I was like 3.
Yeah, what happened?
Drew's pager went off when you were 3? No? What happened?
I was molested by my babysitter.
Oh, all right. God. Well, there you go.
Does that include oral sex?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
there's your issue.
How is it that you sort of missed that little nugget? You want to blame it all on the boyfriend, which really just brought things back into the present, but the real trauma was way back.
Right.
I don't know, because I guess I just really don't think about that.
All right. Well, it's called a post-traumatic stress disorder. You have a bad, bad trauma. It sort of submerges, and something happens in your adult or young adult life that sort of re-triggers all the reactions and the sort of intrinsic memories, not necessarily explicit memories, but the intrinsic biology of having had that trauma gets reactivated, and now you're here.
All right.
Needs to be treated.
Therapy, and more therapy.
And that boyfriend's going to have to cool out. And guess the kind of guy she chose, too. She would choose
abusive. Try to blow him. Just do it. Why not?
Because she'll start having panic attacks and night terrors.
Oh, right.
Then go to therapy. Summer.
It's interesting to think about the behavioral sort of desensitization therapy that she might get her to the point where she can do this.
Well, I was going to say, well, think of an otter pop or something.
Otter pop, you're dating
jellies. Jams and jellies. I don't think they have jams and jellies for your penis. I think it's just preserves. That's it.
From Knott's Berry Farm or Magic Mountain?
It's Boysenberry. It's got to be Knott's Berry Farm.
Summer?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I got shingles, and I'm not sure if I got them from my surgery, if it made my immune system low.
What surgery?
I had a breast reduction.
At 17.
Oh, breaks my heart.
From what to what?
Double D to C.
And how long ago was the surgery?
About 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, well, shingles are a common thing after any kind of stress, whether physical or emotional. So, and you can also be exposed to it. Maybe you're at the hospital, you got exposed to somebody that had shingles.
You sound like you're 5 and a half or 6.
No.
8.
She said 4 words.
What happened when you were 8?
Huh?
Something happened to you when you were 8?
No.
Anything? Dad died?
No, my stepdad's like, he is kind of verbally abusive, but that's it.
Okay.
Where's my bourbon?
Where's your real dad?
I don't talk to him.
How come? What happened with him?
He just stopped calling, and my brother used to live with him, and he abused my brother, so we just all pretty much didn't keep in touch.
Hmm. When did that happen? When they stopped calling you?
About a couple years ago.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a reduction pretty young.
Yeah, I play a lot of sports, so and they're getting in my way and giving me back problems.
Hmm. How big are you? What's the size of you?
As in
weight, height and weight.
5'10", 135.
Sweet. Wow, that's a buxom woman.
He knows address.
5'10", 135 with the double D's or the X double D's?
Yeah.
You're gone, Adam. Gone.
Gone, see?
No. I can't accept that. All right, Summer, we're going to let you get back to sleep, all right?
Okay.
Oh, Summer, are you on the pill? Never mind.
You want to know?
I was just going to say that you know, a lot of breast tenderness during the pill, extra breast tenderness, all that.
Are you on the antiviral medication for your shingles?
No, they didn't give me anything when I went to the doctors, and I was wondering, like, what I could get to help them out, because they really hurt bad.
Yeah. Well, had it gone on too long before you went in? Is that what they told you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, even so, even if there's some evidence that using things like Valtrex or Famvir can be helpful in shortening the duration of the outbreak and decreasing the risk of what's called postherpetic neuralgia, which is continued pain long after the rash is gone.
Yeah.
Bad news.
All right.
Bad times.
But good times.
But good times.
I mean, good times. Yeah. All right, baby doll. You take care of yourself. Shingles. How do you get shingles?
Well.
Shingles sounds crappy.
Yeah. It's called herpes zoster.
Yeah. All right, I've heard enough.
Yeah.
Greg?
Hey, what's up?
You're 21?
Yeah, my question was for Dr. Drew.
Mm.
I was wondering, Drew, if you have ever masturbated to a black woman.
Yeah, Drew.
Never masturbated to a black woman.
He's a man of exquisite passion.
Probably.
Has he had anal with his wife?
Huh? What'd you say, Greg?
I was wondering if Drew's had anal with his wife.
No.
No.
Not in Texas.
But, Drew has. Not with my wife. Not about Drew.
You had?
Drew's wife.
You did, yes.
Thank you.
In Texas?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's legal now.
Yeah, it's legal everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shut up! All right, Greg.
Oh, Drew, one more question.
You call back. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Greg.
No, Greg, relax.
Pervert.
I don't mind a jack-off. I just mind the guys that are sort of icy, sketchy, semi-angry, aggressive, and weird jack-off guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't mind the screwball gene.
Right.
You know, Hey, Drew, yeah,
right.
Shh, shut up, he's on the phone. Like, I don't mind that guy.
Right.
This is the kind of the weird, it's like kind of, makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up a little.
Yeah,
like
it's
kind of
scary.
Creepy,
like, is this guy going to come get
creepy guy?
Us?
Yeah. All right, let me just,
hey, Drew, why?
Greg.
What's up?
Let me just ask you, just promise me something. If you ever think you're going to do something bad to anybody, do it to yourself first, all right?
What's that?
All right. Just want to make sure. Looking out for society. You know what I'm saying, buddy?
All right.
All right. Nothing wrong with that speech. I'm going to put that out there when I'm in charge.
Good for you.
A lot of you are depressed. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people are having homicidal thoughts.
Right.
Let's turn those into suicidal thoughts.
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean?
Huh.
A lot of you thinking about going out and killing. You're going to do that. You're going to rot in jail. You may get raped anally. It's going to be a horrible life. You're going to, your conscience is going to bother you. Turn the gun on yourself right now.
They're all self-destructive.
That's going to be my argument. Jennifer?
Yes?
What's the matter, baby?
I have a boyfriend that I've been going out with for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Going out 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And about a month ago, he tried, like, anal sex. And ever since then, I don't want to sleep with him anymore. And I've been having dreams about this other boyfriend that I had before I went out with him. And then, I don't know.
Just don't have it anymore. That's the worst.
Why not dump this guy?
Well, I am, but I don't know. Because
you are, but I don't know.
What night is it? Is it the 18-year-old female that just, like, they're spinning like a dreidel night? Like, it sound like they're 11 and not sure what's going on?
Full moon.
Is that what's going on?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yeah, that's, we get that.
Yeah, this is that, like, I mean, she's 18 years old.
Well, that falls in the heels of Greg.
Yeah.
She treats me like I'm 12, probably. That's probably why I sound like I'm 12.
He treats you that way?
My family does.
Your family does.
My mom and my dad.
Okay.
Well,
as I'm growing up, and
Drew's
gonna do that too with his kids.
Of course.
So listen, let's just get something straight. You have a boyfriend. He tried anal sex on you.
Yeah.
And what do you mean tried?
To sort of force you?
No, it was kind of like a deal. Like, he didn't like eating out girls, and I didn't like want to have anal sex, but then like we were both like curious about it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like both like let each other, and I don't like that. And
so
I
he would give you.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. See, I always give that one away.
You withhold oral
sex. I give that one away early. Yeah, he withholds oral.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah. He doesn't know how to do it. It was like a curiosity. How would that be like?
I don't like eating.
He had a bad experience with it.
He had a bad experience. Oh, boy.
Listen, Alana, I don't like eating out girls. It's a Corolla thing. My dad didn't much care for the taste of Poontang. His grandfather, his father, of course.
Well, then I'm not inviting you over for dinner. Don't even think about it.
All right. But I am in love with anal. So, now just hear me out.
You like anal for dinner?
I like anal for dinner. Not a big fan of going down on ladies. But tell you what I will do. Tell you what I'll do. I'll make an exception. I'll go down on you, but then we're going to have some very serious cornholing afterwards. Is it a deal?
Absolutely.
You want to talk to your people, or are we cool?
Absolutely.
Just
a lot seems to be up for it, only if you call it cornholing. You seem very much enjoy that.
Cornhole, so, that's fantastic.
2.5 to 3 minutes of lackluster oral, and then a vigorous night of cornholing.
Legally Blonde 2, that's the movie.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Here's your star.
Yeah.
My God, this is where Strasburg led me to. This is amazing. Wow.
Jennifer?
Hmm?
Okay, babe. So, you feel like he manipulated you.
Not really. I just don't like having sex with him. I was raped when I was 15.
Ever since then,
I didn't want to have sex with anybody, and I slept with him. And
by who?
But you don't feel like he manipulated you into having anal sex?
No, because I wanted to try something, and so we kind of, like, traded.
Yeah, but the manipulation is you had to beg for something that would be sort of considered a normal reciprocal kind of gesture on the part of a male to a female that you had to beg for. And as a compensation for that, you had to subject yourself to something that potentially very uncomfortable.
I guess. And that way I would.
Okay, so
I didn't think about it like that.
Jennifer.
Huh?
Here's the whole thing. You need to get some counseling for the rape. I think we're just going back to this with every female caller tonight. I don't like this guy. I don't trust this guy. I don't like a guy who says, I don't like to perform oral on a woman, but I really love anal.
And Jennifer,
that is total crap.
Yeah, but also, what's radio?
You got to watch the S.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. I thought I was doing an indie. Sorry about that.
How dare you? What kind of program do you think this is?
I thought this is a B-movie I was doing. Sorry about that. Too used to doing those.
Wow.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Hey, listen, she's done with the guy, too. She just doesn't know how to end it. Plus, she's real attached to him because she came out of a trauma and the fear of abandonment and blah, blah, blah. She's got to stop behaving like a 12-year-old and behave like the 18-year-old she is and end this relationship. This is a relationship that wouldn't last 3 weeks, won't last 3 weeks when she's 25.
No, absolutely. As soon as she starts feeling submissive, before you know it, 2 years goes by and she's starting to resent the guy.
At 17, 18, you don't know how to end a relationship. It feels like all we put into it, my whole life is wrapped into this, and we share this world, and how can I bring it crashing to an end? Well, guess what?
It's over.
You're supposed to.
Fat lady song. Let's take ourselves a break. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight.
No.
Ubach, sorry.
You got it. Back.
Yeah, she is from Legally Blonde 2, which is coming out on the 3rd, July 3rd. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Alana, back on the air.
Oh, I am. I'm like a switch.
I only do that for Anderson. All right. No, Drew. No, it's fine. We'll talk about it. I don't know if it's come up before. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew boards. Alana.
Yes.
Ubach is our guest tonight. She is from Legally Blonde 2 and Legally Blonde 1. She's Serena. She's what's her nose's best friend? I can't try to think of her name.
What's her nose's best friend?
No.
She's Reese Witherspoon.
I know her. She's Reese Witherspoon. I was trying to think of her character's name.
Elle Woods.
Elle. That's right. And I like your dog, Buster. What the hell is that dog?
Bruiser.
Bruiser.
Buster.
Better than Buster.
Buster Brown.
Just Bruiser, yeah. It's a Chihuahua, but it's the only Chihuahua I've ever liked. Anyway, we were just laughing at the beginning of the show, or at the coming out of the break, is Drew has these questionnaires he gives to all the guests because he's trying to put together a study on fame and how it affects you and how it compares to other people and all sorts of stuff. It's always been a bone of contention with the producer, Ann, and everyone else around here because, A, he bugs the guests, who don't seem to really mind too much. And then, B, it always sort of interferes with the show a little bit because they take their tests during the show. And Drew and I have had multiple arguments, and all I ever tell Drew is you got to tell the guests when the show comes back on that they have to put their pencil down, put their headphones back on, and participate in the show instead of participate in the test. And Drew always says, hey, I told him when I gave him the test that when we come back, you know, put the headphones on. But that was always 4 or 5 minutes earlier. And the guest has forgotten about that and is intent on filling the test out, in which case I yell at Drew. Drew, you sit there and watch them with their headphones down and their pencil up taking the test. You have to tell them when we're coming back.
Yeah.
Drew will not do that. He absolutely will not do it. And you know, you can't do it, Drew. It's not even, you don't forget. We're both just looking at Alana. We heard the music come back in. I just don't talk. I'm not going to talk anymore until you tell them.
It's such a good questionnaire. I couldn't get
But Drew, do you ever think about why you can't do that?
Yeah, I can't figure out. There's no reason why I wouldn't do it. Actually, what usually happens is I'm sitting down, waiting for you to start talking. I don't notice that they're doing their thing.
But you're looking right at her.
I didn't notice that. Then don't make her, you know, don't make her feel uncomfortable. You're making Alana uncomfortable. You're putting her in the middle of all.
No, not at all. No, I love being in the middle of everything.
You're making her uncomfortable by saying I'm making her uncomfortable.
She's not uncomfortable. That's fine. But so I didn't notice that she wasn't doing it until I noticed you weren't talking. Then that's when I said, oh, we're back. Not to remind you,
After the 10 or 15 conversations we've had about it.
Well, when I realized we were coming back, then I asked her to stop.
You guys are adorable.
Yes, sir, Miss
Kroll. Look at you both.
It's a very interesting thing to look into, Drew. It would be very interesting to look into that for you. I think it's a combination of a few things, but one is, you can't stop somebody. When there's something to be done with you, like once a week, Ann comes in, she says, I need you guys to do these liners for Station and Bum F. I always look at them and go, well, I got to take a leak. We'll do them next break because there's about 30 seconds worth of work here. Drew gets a little panicky and says, let's do them now. Because if there's something that's looming out there, it screws with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can't stand the idea of telling somebody, put it down and finish it later a few more seconds they could be done.
Right.
It's that. And then there's some sort of passive aggressive thing going on, too. We'll look into it. Maggie?
Yes.
It's no fun when you don't defend yourself, by the way, Drew. Want you to know.
No, I'd love to solve the problem. My idea is to try to solve it. It's not like I don't want to solve it.
One of the easier ways to solve the problem. Tell them to put the goddamn pencil down and put the headphones on when we come back from commercial. That's a quick fix right there. I don't know if it really gets at the root of the problem, but it would stop these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I just like to see Anderson because he's rarely entertained by the show, but he does enjoy that part. He just laughs his ass off in there. Maggie?
Yes.
You're 25.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Drew, I had to put you through that. What's up?
I'm calling because when I was 19, I slept with this man that was much older than me, and immediately at the beginning of the relationship, I came down with herpes. And then at the time, a friend of mine died, and I'd assumed that it was my fault that I had given it to both of us. But 6 months...
A friend of yours died? What does that have to do with you getting herpes?
Because I was so stressed out. Do you understand that when I went to the doctor, one of the things they told me is that it can come... You can have it, and it can be dormant, and then it comes out when you're stressed.
So you didn't think it was the primary infection. You thought it was some sort of recurrence. You missed the primary one.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So you thought you had herpes the whole time, just never knew it.
Yeah. That happens.
All right.
Well, and I've heard that happens.
Yes, it happens a lot.
But the thing is, 6 months later, I came down with genital warts while I was with him. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I should have told you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How old was this guy?
He was 10 years older than me, so...
29? How'd you meet him?
He was my teacher.
It's high school?
Sexual ed?
No, it was... It was in college, and the worst part about it is that he's still preying on younger students right now.
Why didn't you report it back when it was happening?
Because I don't want people to know that I have these diseases.
Okay.
Nobody's
Well, a lot of people have these things, and you do need to be honest about them when you do date people.
Well, I am.
Okay, and you need to report this guy. You need to alert the institution. What school is it? Can you tell us?
I don't know if I should say.
Well, you're hiding it again. You're protecting this guy where you can.
What's the point? What's the point?
Performing arts school.
Okay. All right. And you need to.
Oh, this. Yeah, this guy probably gets the freshman class every year.
Yeah.
Out him.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. Oh. So.
You probably have to trap him.
This was how long ago?
This was like 6 years ago. And my question is, I've never really told anybody or talked to anybody about this besides, the last two guys I've dated are really in that, and, my gynecologist are the only people who know, as far as I know.
Right.
My best friend doesn't even know.
Right. And now, did you have a full-blown relationship with him? Were you boyfriend and, or did you think you were boyfriend and girlfriend with him?
We were boyfriend and girlfriend.
No, Maggie, think about it. Think about who this guy is.
Well, but when I came down...
No, but I still want to know if he, obviously this guy's a criminal, but did he say, I love you? Did he make you think you were his girlfriend?
He did, yes.
Okay. He did. Okay, so in his mind, or in your mind, you were having a relationship with a guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is he married or anything?
No, he's not.
Did you find out he was screwing around with anybody else during that time?
No, he wasn't. He wouldn't give... This is looking back. He wouldn't give me the number of people he'd slept with. I don't know if that's... Yeah.
Well, hold on, but doesn't a good sociopath just say, well, 4.5? Oh, 4. I say 4.5. Maybe you would say 5, and just like BS.
Not an abusive sociopath. It's like, hey, lay off.
Really?
What are you worried about?
Yeah, he's obviously in a state of denial when he was going out with her. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told her he didn't have herpes.
No, he's in denial. He doesn't care.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
All right. So anyway,
my question is like. Just because I walk around with this, anger, what do I do to forgive this person?
Well, first, take action, make sure he doesn't harm anybody else. Wouldn't that be the first order of business?
Yeah, and how, I'm not sure, I mean, we're all fed this bill of goods when we were, in the 70s, that, you have to forgive. When you forgive, then you move on. I'm not so sure you need to forgive people that do bad things to you. And who never really got repaid for it.
And things that you can't change, though.
And things that you can't. I'm just saying, I don't know, forgiving. If your dad molests you for 5 years and now he's dead or maybe he's living in probably Florida. I don't know if you need to forgive him. I think you can forgive yourself for your part in it. You can understand your role in it and you're a victim and so on and so forth and move on. But I don't think you need to forgive the guy. I don't think you need to obsess on the guy. I don't think you should ever forgive him. He's a bad person.
Yeah.
Do the Jews need to forgive Hitler so they can move on? No, they need to dig up his bones and kill him again.
I'm a Jew.
Thank you. All right. Again, therapy. How about it?
But the resentment is a potentially damaging feeling to be living with.
Yeah.
I know that's hard for you to imagine, Adam, since it's something you've never experienced.
Oh, look at Drew. Now it's coming back.
But resentment is something that does tend to eat people up a little bit. And so you need to find ways to sort of integrate that. Yes, you can be angry when you think of it. Yes, you can hate him. But you need to sort of do find a way to kind of let go of it, to come to terms with the fact that the sick person preyed on you, feels awful. Some way to make it what's called a cohesive narrative out of your experience.
Yeah. Well, maybe people use forgive where they shouldn't use forgive.
Yeah,
it's more of a moving on.
You shouldn't think it's okay. You shouldn't let him off the hook. It's okay to hate him and be angry, but let the resentment eat you up.
I do think ratting the guy out would be part of a healing process.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And take care of yourself and make sure that you tell your other partners that you do have that.
Wear a condom.
Haley?
Condom.
Oh, hey, am I on the air?
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
My summer school teacher, it always seems to me like he's hitting on me, but then when I talk to my friends about it, they're like, what are you talking about?
Stay with the teacher theme here.
Wow.
Tonight.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm only 14. I'm not 16.
Oh, boy. Is he just being extra sort of affectionate in some way, or
well, if he'll pass out papers, he'll find a way how he has to reach around me, or I always have to stay after class for stuff.
Come here and give me a hug.
Does he touch you? Does he touch you?
Well, like, he'll, like, pat me on the shoulder or whatever.
Do you have a special needs for some reason with this class?
Oh,
is
no,
it legitimate?
Just so I'll have more time for next year. I'm actually high honor roll for all my classes.
Wow.
So he just sort of appreciates you.
Well, I don't know. It always seems like he, like, it's not, like, an academic thing to me, but then my friends, like...
Well, let me suss this
yeah,
out.
Yeah, get some earlier stuff.
How old a guy do you think he is?
I think he's probably, like, in his mid-30s.
Mid-30s. Is he married, do you know?
I don't know, actually.
Doesn't have a wedding ring?
I don't look at his hands.
Check his pockets.
Okay. Wouldn't be a hard thing to ascertain, you know? You see that ring finger. All right. Number three, you ever see him doing this with any of the other girls other than you?
No, but, like, I've heard a couple girls that are older than me, like, telling stories that he'll do that.
Yeah, well, I remember in junior high back when it was fine to molest.
Back when Steven was making a video of it.
There were teachers that were considered sort of dirty old men, in a sense. I mean, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. This was an accepted societal status.
Right.
Like, yeah. If a girl came in wearing a tight sweater, you would stare at her chest, you know?
And they'd make some weird comments.
You'd make
it.
Some weird little suggestive comments here and there. You would sort of brush up against or hug for an extra beat or whatever. That was sort of the end of it. I guess you just go home and beat off to it. That's the part they never told you about. But they never actually made their move. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I don't think he's going to rape me or anything.
Yeah.
But...
Well, there's really nothing. Are you attractive?
Well, I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm the hottest girl in the world, but I think so, yeah.
All right.
Do you have fantasies about him in bed?
No.
Good. All right, so here's the deal.
Is there anything that would make her... interpret any sort of overtures as an intrusion?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to get into all that. I'm tired of that. Here's the deal. You sound smart. You sound sharp. You got your eyes open.
Yeah.
So, you can't do anything because he hasn't done anything that's going to hold up in court or the principal's office or anything like that. And you don't want to do it unless he does something anyway.
Right.
So, if he says, hey, we're going to Yosemite camping, me, you, and my step-cousin, don't go. And don't, you know, stay after class. I mean, just avoid any situation.
What am I going to say, like, if he's like, okay, I need to see you about this paper? Because that's what he says. Like, he always finds a reason like that after.
Bro, I'm so busy. You know, I gotta meet my mom for
shopping.
My mom
won't let me.
Yeah.
She doesn't let me stay after school.
I'm so busy.
My mom,
sorry.
Yeah. That's it. You just make sure you're not in a situation where you two are hanging out.
And he'll get the picture.
And there's nothing wrong with if there's an administrator, like, a dean of student type of, somebody that's above all the teachers. There's nothing wrong with going, this guy makes me uncomfortable. Can you help me? And you're not saying guy's raping me, but that teacher needs to know that some of his behavior is maybe crossing over a little bit.
I was raped in high school by
you were.
Mr. Gregory. Who
There's the driving instructor.
Driver's ed.
Oh, yeah.
Driver's ed.
I heard about that.
He failed me. I call that rape. When you fail driver's ed, that's a male, 16-year-old male equivalent to rape.
Wow.
Heading into the summer with a nice big F. See, you're totally screwed up now because you can't go into driver's training. You got to retake driver's ed. You got to wait till the next semester comes around and retake driver's ed. And it's time. You're now 18 months behind. Everyone else is getting their license. That's rape. As a matter of fact, I would have taken a good finger banging in the A from Mr. Gregory rather than the F. And I swear to Christ, when he said F, or you can just drop your pants. I'll lube up my index finger via my own saliva and pack it in your ass for five minutes. I would have gladly done it. Gladly. I'm not even kidding him.
You sound like you're asking for it.
I would have. True. Lick that finger.
That's what I'm saying.
I always thought you guys were in love. I really did.
Oh, it's true. Well, that's why we argue this way.
You just got to make out and get it over with.
I just argue with Drew because I know he's capable of more. Alana, you Ubach. Yeah. Here tonight from Legally Blonde. Legally Blonde 2. We'll take a out on the 2nd, we think, now of July. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight.
Hello.
She is from Legally Blonde 2, which is coming out on the 2nd of July. It's going to be a huge movie. Seen billboards all over town for this. And Legally Blonde 1 was very well received. And we were talking about this, I don't know, with another actor before, but so many actors do so much crap and are capable of doing good work, but they're just sort of all over the place. Like, you know, I always think of Nick Cage when I think of this. Like,
they want to be busy.
Does good stuff, or even John Travolta, you know, but then their batting average ends up being sort of horrible. You know, it's like, well, one out of every 7.5 movies turns out to be good. But Reese Witherspoon doesn't really seem to work that way. She seems to pick good projects, do good work. And I got to believe that eventually you get rewarded for that. And I think that's going to come to fruition on the 2nd of July, everybody. Legally Blonde 2!
Now, wait a minute. Is it different parts of the country, the release date?
No, it's all over the place. Okay. All over. All over the USA.
Oh, July 2nd.
Everyone. July 2nd, okay. USA.
It's early November on the East Coast.
The reason I asked, you said you're going next week to a premiere.
Yeah, to a premiere, to a screening with cast and crew.
But not a release premiere.
Not a release premiere, yeah.
And you're going to, where'd you say, the Hamptons?
Hamptons, New York City.
I'm going. Drew? Not you, Drew. Caller Drew?
Hello?
You're 25?
27.
27. What's up?
It's kind of difficult to address. It's a strange problem, but I have this kind of intense fear. I almost consider it a phobia, though I don't know if by definition that classifies it, but of vomiting.
Yeah. When's the last time you vomited?
Probably when I was 9 years old or younger.
That's not, that's been a while.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And was something traumatic about it at the time?
Well, my mom and I, we've talked about it. We've tried to trace it back. And the earliest we can go is when I was a little kid, my mother took care of her mother, my grandmother at the time, when she was going through problems of cancer.
Oh, boy.
And we took care of her at home. And what had happened was she would get sick a lot at home, and I think that kind of started.
Isn't that interesting? That wired him up.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Okay,
how's that doing? Yeah.
Wow. Good?
I see you don't drink?
No, sir. It's one of the reasons why I never did.
Wow. I guess it could.
What leads you up to that?
It could be good, though. You wouldn't do heroin. You wouldn't drink.
Yeah.
You wouldn't overeat.
I'm sorry. What do you mean? What led up to what? Is it
stress related? Does something happen to you where you ask yourself, "Okay, my God, I'm going through this. Time to throw up."
Well, no, actually, he can't. He can't vomit.
He can't.
Oh, you
cannot.
He has pathological fear of vomiting.
I kind of refuse to.
He has a fear. The tape recording you just heard of somebody vomiting made him probably nearly vomit.
Really?
Thank you, Anderson.
Yeah.
Is that upsetting to you to hear that?
Well, the thing is, I've come a long way, and it all kind of manifested itself a couple of years ago. I went to an underground film festival in Honolulu, and we were supposed to see my friend's film. And what had happened was, before that, there was another independent film, and it was a whole bunch of skater guys. It was a great film, but...
Shakes the Clown?
Right,
the Clown?
Sorry?
Shakes the Clown? No, go ahead. There's a lot of vomiting in Shakes the Clown.
at the end of the movie, all these guys, they were drinking nothing but Budweiser, and it was just like projectile vomiting for like the last 5 minutes. And from there, I really couldn't do anything. I dropped weight from 175 to about 143. I stopped eating because I had a fear of eating because I got food poisoning.
It's post-traumatic stress disorder again. Is that interesting?
I know, but yes, he
listened to his grandmother vomit for weeks while he was three, and it freaked him out.
And you saw that? You viewed her?
Well, he at least heard it, probably.
Okay. But
he's so good at that.
I know. Well, one of them is Jimmy.
What?
One of them is... That's Jimmy.
Oh, that's Jimmy.
Oh, God! That's
Jimmy's vomit sound effect from back when he was in the radio.
And then here's David Alan Greer now.
And then there's...
He's better.
How dare you say David's a better vomiter than
is.
Jimmy?
He just is.
Oh, my God.
He just is.
This one's a combo, actually.
This combo.
Yeah. Meantime, Drew's like ready to cut himself.
Hey, Drew.
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy. Listen, you got to get over this, you nut job.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I've gotten a lot of advices from friends like, hey, just stick your finger down your throat, just do it. But
No. Yeah, make it worse.
Thank you. What I'm worried about is, first of all, I don't want to have to take any medications. I figure I can get over this on my own. And I don't know, is it a mistake to think to myself, you know what, I don't need any type of counseling. This is something I could fix within myself.
Well,
it wouldn't have been
12 years ago, but now it is.
And elsewhere in your life, it's okay? You have normal relationships, that sort of thing?
Yes, sir. Everything's okay. Fine. But you know, it's funny. When I go and eat places, or if I go places, like I can't sleep at last at night.
Wait, Drew, listen. Look into this. This may be a specific circumstance for something called EMDR. Have you ever heard of EMDR?
Yes. No, he hasn't.
Drew, you ever heard of EMDR?
I've tried it.
You tried EMDR?
Changed my life.
Well,
really?
Mm-hmm.
And, Drew, have you heard of that?
Well, Alana can tell you how it works.
All right, we're late for break here.
Oh, really? Oh my God.
So Drew,
awesome.
Yeah, look into EMDR. You can look it up on the web. There's a lot of information about it out there. It's a little bit hocus-pocusy, and there's a lot of controversy about it. But for a specific phobic reaction that's coupled with a post-traumatic stress reaction, I would think that would be an ideal circumstance for it, provided you're otherwise well-constituted.
All right. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight. She is from Legally Blonde 2. Going to be out July 2nd, and she's going to tell us how EMDR changed her life.
That's great.
And what the F that is. When we come back.
I'm off. No,
hey, love line. Anderson screwed that one up. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight. She is from Legally Blonde 2. She is a Serena. She is Elle's great friend. And I enjoyed your work in the first one, and I'm going to go enjoy your work in the second one.
Thank you.
That is out on the 2nd of July. When we left off, we brought up something called a EMDR,
yep,
which is something that I hadn't heard of. I thought it was a pill. I didn't know what it was. Alana has some experience with this, and we said we'd talk about it, so I'd like to know myself. So quickly, let's walk us through it and tell us you did it. And how it works.
Sure. EMDR, and we were saying that it stood for eye movement disorder revolution.
Reprogramming.
EMDR, basically what it is that if you have a specific problem and it's bleeding into other areas of your life, what EMDR does is it kind of compartmentalizes that emotion so that you kind of you lessen it in you within. It's I had a problem with a boss at work who was very abusive to me, and
what work was it?
It was in acting. I was doing a film one time with a very abusive boss, and he was a director, and
really?
That's it. It ain't going any further.
He was just kicking your ass,
It ain't going any further. But,
wow.
You know, my ethnicity was involved, a lot of little things here and there, and so it really affected me. So,
what's your ethnicity?
Puerto Rican.
Holy Christ.
Mexican.
What you doing in here?
Get her out of here.
She was Jewish. I thought that was bad enough.
I didn't just work with Oliver Stone either.
Yeah. All right.
Telling you. But
so,
basically what happened was, what EMDR does is, okay, I have a problem with my boss.
Right.
What this woman who specialized in EMDR said, Alana, okay, when you think of your boss, how does it make you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? And she showed me these illustrations of faces. And basically, these faces got more grotesque as it got from 1 to 10.
Right.
So I thought, okay, 10 is what I think about when I think of this person. Okay, Alana, now look at this box. In the box, there are these red lights, and you look from back and forth. It's almost like hypnosis.
Do you, like, sort of put your face up into it?
Right into it.
And
you put little phones
on your ears.
Your eyes
follow the...
Right.
It's like
yeah.
the watch.
You put headphones up. Hold on. We call them cans.
Cans.
In radio.
Exactly. You put the cans to your ears.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you hear a deet, 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 and you follow the light.
Mm-hmm.
To the rhythm of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she, you know, what she did was she asked me, Alana, now, think of the emotion that you're going through when you think of this person and when you're at work and when he tells you the things he tells you. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
like, oh, God. And I remember breathing really heavily and all of a sudden just sweating profusely. All of a sudden, I was following the light. She was like, stick to the light. The light stopped.
She talking into your cans when she...
Well, you can kind of hear her you know, they're not that strong cans.
Right.
And she said, okay, now, the sound stopped, the light spread out, and all of a sudden I was just, you know, found myself really breathing heavily and really dealing with that one emotion. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, Alana, now how do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? She showed me the illustrations, and it came down to a 5, honestly. It really did. It went from a 10 to
a
5.
Did she have you talk while you're watching the light?
Yeah.
Things,
she was like, you can talk, you can mumble, you can do a frick, 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 frick. You know, it doesn't matter. So long as you're really in touch with that same emotion.
It really is sort of a hypnosis. This
right.
Technique, so
then when she asked you on the 1 to 10 and you saw the pictures of the faces again, you just didn't feel the same energy?
I just wasn't taking it seriously anymore. I was kind of like condensing this emotion. In other words, I was just thinking to myself, wow. This has nothing to do with getting in my car and driving or my relationship with my mother. I'm not going to take this at home. This is just one thing that happened to me.
Was it just one session then? Or did you do multiple
sessions? One session. And a couple of others on other problems I have. It really helps. It really worked for me.
Okay.
It might not work for everyone else.
You went back to work. Oliver Stone didn't bother you anymore. And Who was it?
I wish I was working with Oliver Stone. Come on now.
Just tell us the movie.
Debbie Does Dallas Part 5.
When did this all happen? How long ago was this?
I was a kid. But I was mature enough to know that I needed that.
You know what I don't like about this town is there's all kinds of horrible people in this town.
Jerks.
And we run across them all the time. Horrible, horrible publicists, horrible celebrities. And people say to me, like, all the time, like, who's your worst guest you've ever had? Rodney Dangerfield, I scream at them. He's an old, fat, bloated prick who I can't personally stand. Now, everyone else says, I love Rodney Dangerfield, comedian I've ever met, kisses that old S's ass.
Well, all of a sudden, obviously.
Yeah. Ooh, look at your head.
First off, I think the guy sucks. He just tells a bunch of hackneyed jokes from the 30s. Number one. Number two, he's a prick. So when people say, well, who's your worst guest? I say, Rodney Dangerfield's my worst. And everyone's like, oh, how can you say that? Well, I can say it because he was a prick. That's why I can say it. I wouldn't say it about Tori Amos, who I really enjoyed having on this show. Now, I don't wish the guy would die or anything. I don't wish cancer on him. I'm just telling you, Rodney Dangerfield and anyone who's worked with him could probably tell you that the guy's just a bloated prick.
I believe.
There's Tori. She believes in fairies. And that's a different story. But the thing is no one wants to say bad things about bad people in this industry. And that is an injustice.
So weird.
I mean, the thing is we should say bad things about people that are bad. Their reputation should be bad. People shouldn't want to work with them. They should have bad reputations. That's what I'm saying. Why is everyone so scared to say bad things about horrible directors or cruel actors?
If I was a guy like you, and you look like you can kick some tuchus, right, I imagine?
What?
You look like you could kick some tuchus.
Yes,
if Rodney Dangerfield, all you have to do is kick him until he's dead. No, I'm joking. But if he were to confront you about you outing him as a big jerk, you wouldn't be afraid.
No director's going to beat you up.
Well, I'm 5'1". I mean, this is a big, big person here.
No. Really? Oh, big person.
Yeah.
I'm going Rob Ryan.
I think you're right.
Rob Ryan.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew it.
No, he's nobody. He's nobody.
All right. Tammy?
Yes, hi.
You're 24?
What's up, Tammy?
Yes, I'm 24. I'm calling from San Diego.
Oh. Hold on a second. Now I'm fired up. You know, we were talking about her a couple of times the other day. Do you remember, and you're probably not going to remember Capri?
Yeah.
Capri was this bitch from Europe who came over here as sort of God's gift to the States about 3 years ago.
Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend?
That's Capri. It's the only nice thing she ever said. Trying to work out her doing something for the man show. She totally blew us off. She was totally evasive. We're asking her about her singing career. She was like pompous and full of ass. And I couldn't be happier that her name has never been spoken again in this town.
What was she full of?
Full of
did
S.
Did you say S?
S.
That's
S.
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 Oh, S.
The word S.
You said
I mean,
B-S
the letter,
earlier this evening, I believe.
Yes.
Full of ass. I was like...
S and then H is what she was. I hated Capri, and I hope her career goes... well, actually, it's going the way I actually planned. Yeah, it went. It's gone. It's the greatest thing ever. Like, this chick was... complete like soup du jour about 3 years ago, right? Everyone's like Capri this, Capri that.
4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
4 or 5 years ago?
I've
seen her on Entertainment Tonight and everything, and now when I bring up her name, people are like, they don't even know what it is. It's not like some old 70s
sitcom.
Well,
I just remember her talking about when I'm huge in the United States. I mean, you're huge.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Okay. Enjoy, you bitch. Screw her.
And I remember you questioning her about her singing. She's like, well, how long have you been singing? She was, oh, about a year or two. I'm like,
she was just full of crap. She said she had a big hit in England, a big hit in Europe, which was huge in Europe. And I was like, well, when are they going to release it, you know, in the United States? And she was like, we have to redo it for the United States. And I was like, why? It's a big hit. Just bring it on over, you know. And she was like, you don't understand. And I remember thinking, you're so full of crap, silicone bitch. Screw her. Screw Capri.
Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend? Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend?
Ugh. Tammy?
I'm no reference to Capri, I hope.
They think everyone wants to screw them so they can act however they want.
I love it. Tammy, are you in La Jolla?
No, I'm calling from Abnormal Heights.
Right on.
Normal Heights.
And what's the question? Okay.
My question is, I always hear you guys make reference to people, or at least girls, having had been molested that I'm not sure if your reference is that it stunts their... the sound of their voice at the time that they were molested, or that they just in general talk like they're little girls.
They talk like they're little girls, and
right,
there's something. It's something about the way they talk clues us into what age they were molested. We can sort of predict based on how they make us feel and what we hear in their voice.
Okay, that's what it was. I misunderstood that part. At any rate, my question is that the same for guys?
No.
No.
You know what's interesting that we hear in guys? Gay.
We can hear gay in guys. Yeah. Drew hears gay in guys.
And that makes us question whether or not born that way or produced into that.
You hear what?
Drew hears gay.
Oh.
I don't hear gay. As you know, I'm colorblind and deaf.
Yeah, whatever.
And some of those Puerto Ricans.
You're not sure if you want a girlfriend or a blowjob. Is that you?
That's my girlfriend, Capri.
Okay.
So
that was my question.
No, we don't hear the same kind of thing with a stunted the voice of a little person coming out of the male. We don't.
No, absolutely not. No, but
strangely,
guys. Okay, here's the deal. You eventually start sounding like what you're thinking.
Uh-huh.
Angry people sound angry, even when they're on job interviews and trying to be nice, they sound angry.
It's brilliant.
Racist guys sound like race guys. Gay guys sound like gay guys. Uh-huh. Little sex kitten chicks sound like that. Angry lesbians sound like angry. Everyone just sounds like what they've... If you think it enough, here's the deal. If you think a certain thought enough, your face starts looking like what you're thinking, and your voice starts sounding like what you're thinking.
Hallelujah. I know that.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I work a lot with... the general public, and yeah, that's true.
All right.
If you're a jackass, it just,
yeah,
you are.
It's what you look like, what you sound like. Yeah. I don't know why, by the way, people don't see that. You know, and it seems like you see some of these guys, you size them up pretty quickly, then you meet their girlfriend, and they're deeply in love, and it's like, really? You don't see the jackass guy? The guy with the ponytail who's wearing nothing but a leather vest, you know, nothing? Two earrings, two hoops, the leather vest and the ponytail, nothing? No. Actually, I'm describing Lorenzo Lamas.
Well. Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend? Was that me?
Yes.
You want a blowjob? You want a girlfriend?
Didn't you do a great sassy Hispanic on this show? Or was that you? Who was that?
Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend?
I think you did like... I think on this show you did like the 15-year-old gangbanger... Cholo.
That's
check.
How I met Reese. I played a 15-year-old gangbanger in jail, and we were in Freeway together.
Oh, yeah,
produced
really?
By
that
Oliver
was
Stone.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, Oliver, it is Oliver Stone you're talking about. How about that?
Produced by Oliver Stone.
Yeah, Drew was right on with that
boss
Oliver
Stone. Originally, didn't she?
No,
she
not
switched
not
it over to director.
Director.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stop the presses. Oliver Stone's a prick. Alright, give me a little gangbang talk. Come on. Give me hard.
Oh, yeah. Greco Bunny. They got you ditching school or what?
Yeah.
Bitch?
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. I think Anderson.
Slow. Yeah, slow,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ay, caramba. There's no cookies in my box.
There's no cookies in my box. I got your cookies.
No,
Who was that?
She's from King of the Hill.
You're right. That was another one. Yeah. Don't worry about her, baby.
Not a short broad.
She meant nothing to me.
All right.
Eric?
Yeah.
You 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, well, I have two questions.
All right.
Yeah, well, I've been with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
How old is she?
She's like my age, 15.
She's 15, all right.
Yeah.
And?
She's been around the block, and my friends are telling me that, and, well, she gave me a BJ.
Yeah.
No, she didn't. No.
Well, she gave me a BJ, and,
Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend?
It sounds like he's laughing and smiling while he's saying
that. Yeah, Eric has never been the recipient of a BJ.
But go ahead.
Well.
The question is.
She gave me a BJ and, well, I macked on her. Not after that, but, like, she's getting, all the guys she's been, she's giving them one. She's giving them one. And I wonder if, like, I could get a disease from macking on her after that.
You can get a disease from getting a blowjob, yes.
Macking is making out?
Yes.
Yeah, making out.
Why are you making out with her after she gives you a BJ?
Not right after that, but, like, you know, after the... Like,
No. There should be no talking after the BJ.
Yeah.
That's it. She goes separate ways. You understand?
Yeah, okay.
You're a couple of fighters that just finished fight. You just you exit that way, I exit this way, we go our separate ways.
All
no right. Animosity, but no talking. And no macking.
Right.
Oh. All right.
Like all right. The Cox and TJ.
Yeah, you're not...
One gets killed.
That's right. You're not going to get any disease.
All you right. Can. You should wear a condom if you're worried about it.
Oh, yeah, that's like my second question.
Yeah, I still don't trust this guy.
Whatever.
Sounds like a virgin to me. You're a virgin, aren't you, Eric?
Well, listen to my second question. Well, the first time I did it with her was like the only time.
You had sex?
Yeah. And, well, I was wearing the condom, right? But,
yeah.
Like, you know when I masturbate?
Yeah.
Like, I get an orgasm, right?
Hold on, let me close my eyes.
You got aroused. Okay, you didn't get aroused when you were with her. You were probably nervous.
Yeah, when I was with her, like, I didn't get that feeling. I didn't go that far.
It's okay, man.
Right.
Now this sounds about right.
Yeah,
that's what I was hearing.
Yeah, I didn't get that far. Is it normal? Or am I
yeah, first time
that's
out.
That's great. You're going to last longer.
That's the only time I've done it, so.
All right, relax.
Yeah,
good
you're
you.
Fine.
Take your time.
You're fine. All right, let me see something.
Oh, boy, 14.
Eric.
Yeah.
Are you Hispanic?
Yeah, sort of.
You are?
Puerto Rican and Mexican.
How you doing? ¿Cómo estás, mijito?
It's a deadly
combination. Amigo, ¿cómo estás? ¿Qué tal?
Yeah. I'm going to let your angry mom speak to you.
Get off the phone, huh? You stupid or something?
Yeah, you got to do that eye thing. I always get that eye thing when I go to Tijuana and visit the hookers over there.
Ay, mira el huevo. Ay, Dios. Yeah. It's Adam Corolla.
If you try to grab their ass, they kick you. Ay!
Ay!
Ay! What's I mean? Just I? Why don't we do I?
It means more. That's what it means.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they kicking you? Oh, that's the other thing I can't stand. Let me ask you. So you know, you got a lot of Latin blood in you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I got to deal with the Latinos quite often.
Dígame, baby.
I call these guys up a lot.
Dígame.
I need them to do stuff for me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I employ whole armies of these people. And whenever you call them
what are their
up,
names? I'm probably related to them.
Oh, man. We got
they don't have last names, do they, in your house?
No,
no,
but I don't have a last name either.
That's
I don't even have a first name. All my name is Jefe.
Oye, Jefe, ¿cómo estás? What's up? What can I do for you now?
Now you know, I always make them laugh because I always sing. I always go, "Una palola blanca." It's just a lyric from a song from the 70s. That's really all I know. But I got Roberto and Alvaro and Jose and
Gordo.
Oswaldo. Well, that's what I like. I got there. The Mexicans, they cut right through the fog of life. Jose, he calls his son Jose Jr. Guy's a little heavy set. Calls him Gordo. Just fat.
Oh, totally.
That's just fat.
That's fat.
Hey, fat. Come here.
Oye, gordito, ¿cómo estás? Yeah, absolutely.
He calls him gordito.
Term of endearment.
Gordito.
Totally.
A bowl of queso. A bowl of cheese, you know. Hey, if you do not be a fat son of a Mexican, because you will just be called Fatso. That's your name. I didn't know the guy's name. I thought, you know, I was, hey, Gordito, come here. You're a good boy, Gordito. What are you, in eighth grade? Looking good. This kid's name was Gordito for the first, I know the guy for 3 years, and this kid's name was Gordito, but he's a huge head, this kid.
I got a cousin named Chico Gorduz.
Really?
I got a cousin named Chico Gorduz.
Well, what's that? That's like Fatson. Like, what would that be?
Fatso.
No, what would that be the equivalent of? Like Mark Fatson?
Mark Fatson.
Mark Chubner. Like, would that be that? All right, but anyway, here's my question for you. Once in a while, I call these guys. I call them at the house. And it's always the grandma picks up the phone or some old lady who lives at the house. And it's like, hey, is Oswaldo there? this is huge, long, big who? And I'm like, is Waldo? And they're like, oh. And now there's panic. No, he's not here. There's a weird panic in their voice. And then later on, they end up calling back, and there seems to be nothing to it. But I'm always curious about the who part. Where's that come in? Like, I know they don't speak good English, but they did hear the name of their son.
You know what I'm saying? It's brilliant.
They're buying time, I think, with the who.
I was going to say they're buying time because they're nervous. They're always hiding something. The Mexicans always got something in their closet, man.
They're shifty.
They always got something.
Worse than the Chinese. No one believes me, but I tell them. They're shiftier than the Chinese.
Me. And the eloquent Mexicans, they say, excuse me, what did you say? I can't hear you.
Right.
It gives them more time.
Right.
But then the abuelita. You did.
Oh, no, you did. Yes, I did. And the abuelitas always say, oh.
Yeah, you know? Who?
Oh, Adam. No, he's not here.
I'm just curious, like, if I don't speak a lick of English.
Abuelitos?
Like, I'm just
abuelitas.
Saying.
Abuelitas.
See?
If a
jerk. Old
ladies. Old
ladies.
Old ladies.
Oh, that's
grandmas.
Old ladies, yeah. Yeah. I'm just curious about the who part when you say the name of the guy they've been living with for 30 years. You know, it just it seems like the wrong. Who? Yeah, right. And then, no. No, you're not here. Right. I'm gonna have a whole seminar on how Latins need to handle themselves on the phone. I get my guys will call me once in a while in a panic. It's like, it's Roberto, call me back, and they hang up, and they never leave their number. And I'm like checking from I'm on the road, you know, and they never leave. And the phone machine's all screwed up. We let's you and I combine on a PSA.
You got it.
Public service announcement.
You got it.
We'll get all these guys going on the phone. This is a phone machine. Leave a number. Don't scream who at the person that calls up. All right. This is all good. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Siete te! Is our guest tonight from Legally Blonde 2.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Alana Ubach is our guest tonight.
Hello.
She is from Legally Blonde 2, which is coming out in theaters on July 2nd. She's reprising her role as Serena from Legally Blonde 1. And I do remember you in Freeway now, which is sort of Reese's kind of breakout. Mini breakout.
It was. Yeah, she was like Jessica Lange even back then, huh?
Yeah. You're a hot gangbanger chick.
Gangbanger chick.
It was cool. It's an interesting movie. Total, I mean, if you just saw Reese Witherspoon and Alana in Legally Blonde and then went and saw Freeway, you wouldn't believe what you were seeing. Yeah. Yeah, you'd go, wow, they should get Academy Award. apropos of nothing, I was thinking... I don't know why the other day, earlier in the evening, the word praying, like, you know, they hear these, you hear praying, like, they're praying, like, this guy preys on women, he's a sexual predator, he preys on young schoolgirls or something like that. I thought, well, that word, that kind of pray and then praying.
Different, spelled differently.
A-Y-E-Y?
Still,
confusing.
Too close. There's something that means that, one means a horrible, horrible thing, and the other means, something kind of nice that you want your kids to do every night. Shouldn't be the same thing. I was thinking of that.
And?
Casual and casualty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are two words that need to be further separated.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The beginning of casualty sounds like casual.
Yep.
Your son is a casual. You're thinking you're going to hear dresser. No, casualty, guys. Head blown off. Napalm, actually. Oh. Casualty and praying need to spread out.
Yep,
we need new words here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Outlaw.
Amy?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, when my fiancé and I have sex, right afterwards, like after everything happens, I have to run to the bathroom and kind of clean myself. We don't use condoms. I'm on birth control. So.
What do you mean clean yourself?
Well, like I don't like... But once he's finished inside me, I feel slimy.
Yeah.
You have to. You should pee, or else you'll get, like, a urinary tract infection. It's really easy to get one.
Use
Okay, so that's a normal thing?
Oh, you have? I do, all the time.
It's a normal thing.
I'd use one of those power washers. I mean, I'd fire up that Briggs & Stratton and hook it up to the hose and really get in there.
I have one of those at home.
You use that?
Good. All the time.
What is the feeling you have exactly again?
Well, I just feel very slimy and uncomfortable after the act. During the act, I'm totally fine.
Why don't you just, like, sort of mop down? Do you have to give yourself a douche or something? Or shower?
No, not that. Just go to the bathroom and wipe myself down. It has to happen immediately, though, because, like, right. I don't know.
All right, listen. Hold on, Amy. I think you're making yourself feel crazier than you are.
Okay, so
which
that's
is
normal?
You enjoy sex.
Yes.
Then when you're done, there's a sort of a little mess to clean up. You're uncomfortable with that. You get up, you excuse yourself into the bathroom, and you sort of clean yourself off. That's totally acceptable.
Normal.
Okay, I wasn't sure because, like, I can't cuddle with him afterwards.
Now,
I have to, like, jump
fine.
Immediately.
So,
and do
hey,
it.
Listen, this guy is the luckiest man on the planet. I love when women excuse themselves and they act they're apologetic. I'm just going to run to the bathroom. And you're like, hey, baby.
Take your time.
Yeah. Let's see. If you're not out in 6 hours, I'll throw a slipper at the door. Guys love it when you leave immediately. That's fine. It's no problem there. And by the way, by all means, clean up. We don't want to be cuddling and feel some remnant of our past leaking out on our thigh.
And, you know, it's always good for boys to take a leak afterward as well.
Yes. Good
yeah.
Idea.
Nope, done and done.
Yeah, bladder infection's the worst.
Oh,
so painful.
You're telling me, and I never had one, but here we go. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just moved, and like when I moved, I got into contact with my ex-girlfriend from about a year ago, and she lives like right across the street from me, like less than a block away, and she's got a kid now.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's living with a 44-year-old dude. She's 18, and she plans to not be dating him, but I don't know. And, like, I've still kind of got feelings for her, and she definitely has feelings for me.
And what's the question?
Like, is there anything, like, is it possible to have a healthy relationship, like, with a kid?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get involved. You're 16.
You're 16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to raise who? Is he going to help raise you, or are you going to raise him?
I would help raise her.
If you were to get involved with the kid, you really got to be in his life for a long time.
No, this is desperation.
Yeah.
This is sort of proximity desperation stuff. Like, you know, okay, it's time for this speech. Oh, the Mexicans. No.
Damn Mexicans.
It's a different speech. This speech is, when you got nothing going on, your best friend.
Males.
Actually,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Your best friend is the person that lives next door to you. Think about that growing up. Oh, my best friend lived across the street. My best friend. No, he's not your best friend. He's the schmuck that lives across the street. You guys strike up a relationship. It's not like everyone coincidentally gets their best friend to move next door or across the street. You can make long-lasting friendships, but this is a proximity thing. And he is just basically with her because he was with her. They broke up. Now he's feeling lonely or whatever. He moved. Now she's nearby again. All of a sudden, he's in love again. If he had a car and a little range, he wouldn't be in love with her again.
Right.
She seems like she's made some bad choices in life, and he's going to come in and try to be the dustpan and pick up the pieces. He's 16. I don't think this is a great plan.
No.
He should be dating chicks at his high school. Not worried about the 18-year-old single mom living with the 43-year-old dude.
Yeah, he should be worrying about his own Oshkosh, not the kids.
Right. You know. That's right. All right. Let's make sure. All right, Brian.
Hey.
Slow.
There's your plan.
Okay, cool.
Have sex. And listen.
Doesn't sound 16, does it?
No, I know. Well, he's seen a lot. Look, let me say this to all high schoolers. Have sex with as many high schoolers as you can while you're in high school. And society does not frown upon it. You know what I mean? For the rest of your life, you'll wish you could go back and nail chicks in high school. I'm saying do it while you're in high school.
Don't be some jackass.
Don't be some guy who's a junior in high school who's trying to get on some sort of 22-year-old mother of two. No, no, no. Get all the high school poontang you can in, and then you'll use that for jack material for the rest of your life. That's what I'm going to tell my son. You want me to give that speech to your kids, too, Drew?
Would you come over tomorrow and do that? It'd be nice.
Send the girl over first.
Slow.
Jay's been on hold for. Here's what it would sound like if I attempted to have sex with a Mexican midget. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, baby.
Do you know what
Are
I
you
represent?
In yet?
I represent the lollipop guild, baby.
Yeah.
Slap my ass right away, baby.
Yeah, you're hot. Yeah, what are you, about 3'5"?
No,
3'4"?
No, 2'6".
2'6", okay, slow down.
No.
Hold on.
No, I like it fast, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, speedy.
Yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, usually I don't hurt the ladies, but you're so undersized, I think I make an impact though.
I think I mean, you're so big, baby.
Yeah, that's what I like in comparison.
I like them big.
I'm as big as your forearm, which is only 3.5 inches. You want to get on top? Get on top.
Let me hop on
this. Right, turn around. Let me look at that stubby ass. Yeah! I'm close!
Oh!
Alright, go to the bathroom and clean up. Clona, go to the bathroom and clean up.
Okay. Ay, yo quiero
grab me a horchata while you're in the kitchen, would you?
Horchata, baby. Horchata.
Yeah, sorry.
A rice drink for you, baby. I like your voice. Great. I like the way you talk.
Alright, this won't be happening again, and don't tell anybody, alright? Don't tell your friends. Don't tell your friends. I'll have to kill you if I find out about this.
No,
clean up. Alright, listen, I'll put a coat of wax in the car before you leave.
Don't tell my husband.
Detail the van.
Don't tell my husband.
Okay. Oh, you're married?
He's right next to you, baby.
Oh, I didn't know he was in the room.
He's little too.
Holy Christ. He may jump up at me. That's good.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, you're hot. True, that's what it would be like if I sang to the Mexican Mitch. We got to take that on the road.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
That was good. Bruno?
Okay.
Yeah.
You're 24?
24.
That was solid.
What?
I got like a little head rush from that.
I do. Too.
True, would you fan me? I think I'm swooning here. Come on, seriously.
I feel like I took a diuretic.
Bruno.
What?
What do you want?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you know what? I'm a little pissed off at you guys putting our race down there.
What's your race? What are you, Irish?
No, Hispanic, Mexican, you know.
Hi. Those are great people.
Está bien, está bien.
They're the greatest. They're salt of the earth, those people.
So what's going on over there?
I love those people.
What are you doing over there?
Nobody employs more Hispanics than me.
So what are you doing, eh?
You understand?
I understand. I'm taking a little bit of a knowledge that you... I was listening to you guys.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to perpetuate a stereotype, but are you drunk?
What's going on over there?
All right.
I love those people.
All right. They haven't worked out the phone yet, those people. This is part of the PSA. I kid because I love. I kid because I care.
Absolutely. That's comedy.
That's
seeing no prejudices and just going with accepting and loving whatever...
I show up at my house. I see 8 of my Hispanic brothers working, and they're all wearing a T-shirt I gave them. It brings a tear to my eye. It happens once in a while. They're all simultaneously wearing some T-shirt, Kilborn T-shirt.
Oh my God.
Lilith Fair. It's great. All right, Julie.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm 25 and I'm married, and me and my husband, we have anal sex. At least maybe 5 times out of the week.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have at least
5 times out of the week? Wow.
At least?
Yeah.
Hold on, Alana. What would it sound like if I gave it to that Mexican midget in the ass?
No,
come on, seriously.
No.
What would that be like?
Hi, faster! Yeah. Faster!
Yeah, yeah.
Adios! Overheated, baby.
Yeah, that's
come on, Drew. Relax, buddy.
Well, anyhow, I'm fine with it. I'm I'm fine, but...
sure.
I wanted to know, what are the long-term effects of that?
No, rectal prolapse, fissures, hemorrhoids.
Life in hell.
Incontinence.
You say at least 5 times a week.
Yes.
So does that mean...
More than 5 times a week?
7, 8 times on average?
It can be, yeah.
Okay.
Do you like it? Do you enjoy it?
Personally, no. I really don't get anything from it. The only reason why I do it is because it's for my husband and he wants it.
Oh, my God.
Do that
do you have a sister?
How do you tone out?
Do you
watch
sister?
TV?
I'm sorry?
I want to know if you have a sister.
No,
oh, God,
I don't.
Pervert. Listen.
Only child.
And she's adopted. Mexican, no.
All right, so...
I've gone to the doctor before just to make sure everything's okay, and they've said I'm fine, but I was always curious as to what are the long-term effects, and I thought...
Hold on.
Is he large? Is he well-endowed?
Yeah.
Okay. Honey, what are you doing?
All right.
Girl.
Let's recap very quickly here. He's very well endowed.
Yeah.
He gets you in the ass
6-7
times a week on average.
Yeah.
You don't enjoy it.
No.
But you do want to make him happy.
Yeah.
And you've been to the doctor to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah.
In that department. Now, when you went to the doctor, did you tell the doctor to give your anus a good looking over to make sure there was no damaged parts?
Kind of. I just mentioned it to him briefly during, you know, regular annual physicals.
So you said, you know, we engage in
frequent
anal sex.
Yeah.
You said that to the doctor?
Yeah.
And
did he pull out an anoscope?
No, he didn't. I think it was because maybe he is a male. He was kind of a little bit embarrassed. That was the problem, because I told him I was open with him, and I'm not embarrassed. I said, you know, this is what I do. I just want to make sure everything's okay.
No, I mean, this is you. Some people, you know, enjoy country music. Others, and there's a pride in that.
Yeah.
Put the bumper sticker on, and you put on the 10-gallon hat. This is you. Other people are into extreme sports. You know,
this is kind of an extreme sport.
You like, yeah.
I'd rather Nelson. Yeah, I'd rather do like a half bowl on a skateboard than this. Oh, wow. I actually would.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Let's talk about Julie behind her back for just a second. Actually, we have to take a break. I'm intrigued.
Mm.
There's something here. There's something going on. Now the whole idea. And I could get down with hey, you enjoy it. He enjoys it. You don't seem to be hurting anybody. But the fact that she doesn't enjoy it and yet does
constantly.
It multiple times a week. And let's think about her husband. Here's a guy who, first off,'s got a paint can between his legs, and then secondly, knows that his wife
doesn't like it,
doesn't enjoy this,
so
and
weird.
Says, still, we got to do it about 1.3 times a day. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. There's something going on. Now, we can predict some abuse in the past.
For Julie.
Julie is sort of righteous, though, so she's going to be a tough nut to crack.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll beat her down.
Right.
We'll get some answers out of her after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Oh, Drew. There's too much talking going on in my life.
Really? For you? I can't believe that.
Even for me. Everyone listen to me. All right. Alana Ubach's our guest tonight.
Hello.
Oh.
Thank you.
There's your microphone.
Gracias.
She is she's legally blonde, too. She's Serena. Got a nice expanded role this time around, but I
thought you were going to say got a nice rack. I was like, thanks.
She's got a nice rack this time around, but I did enjoy her thoroughly in Legally Blonde 1.
Thanks,
as well,
man.
Which is how old now? 2.5 years?
2.5 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's now when we left off, we're speaking to Julie. Julie's 25.
Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Anal. She's having anal sex. Let me just a quick recap. Anal sex. 5 to 10 times a week with her husband, who's well endowed.
And she hates it.
And she hates it. Or certainly doesn't enjoy it. All right. Go ahead. Now, what did you have to say about it?
Well, I was going to say that it's obvious something traumatic happened to her, because when you have a lot of sex with anal sex
right.
with a straight man, obviously he's having a lot of sex with you so that he doesn't have to feel. That's when people have a lot of that same kind of sex, so that they don't have to feel. And if she's not feeling any kind of
something emotional.
Yeah, and if she's not feeling anything emotional during sex, and that's when women usually do feel emotional,
right.
Then she's with a man who just doesn't want to feel, and hence you know what happens in the jail cells. That's why, you know, there's a lot of anal sex going on in the jail cells, so that men don't have to feel.
I think that's also the absence of vaginas.
Absence of vaginas, absolutely. But, you know,
but
I mean,
yeah, no, I
it, jack off, for God's sakes. But these
done
men have
done.
Anal sex with each other because there's friction, there's tension, there's they're releasing something.
I've Drew and I have hypothesized for years that it's guys say they do it for the sensation, it's a little tighter, it's a little naughty. Most of the guys that do it because it's sort of aggressive.
And he's obviously enjoying her not feeling.
Good point, Julie.
Uncool.
Well, no, actually, we do other things, too. That's just a part of our week. So it's not strictly that.
Right.
And I don't get anything out of it. I mean, that's not a sexual pleasure spot for me. I don't know if it is that way for other women.
Yeah, but you also don't like it.
No, I would prefer not to do it as often.
Okay.
But I don't mind it. And nothing ever traumatic has ever happened to me, so I can't answer why I do it. I just do it because I want to make them happy.
You're defending yourself. Why are you calling?
So, yeah, what do you want to know? No. You said you spoke to your doctor about it.
Yes, but I couldn't get very clear answers. I'm calling because I wanted to know what are exactly the long-term effects of doing it.
Well, I mentioned those earlier, right?
Yeah, and I couldn't hear you over everyone else, so.
Oh. Well, look here's the, Drew, let's just talk about this. So people always ask this question.
Yeah.
If you're not experiencing any pain, if there's no bleeding, no ripping, or any real major discomfort, then is there damage being done? I mean,
possibly.
But here's what I'm saying. You can eat a million corn dogs with no damage. Yep. But if you take huge corn dogs, you heat them up till they're lava hot in a microwave, and you keep ramming them in your mouth, you're going to do damage.
Yeah.
Okay, or you can eat a million corn dogs with zero damage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is this the same kind of thing? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, isn't all of life this way, vaginally as well, orally as well? If there's no pain, there's no rubbing, is it doing damage when there's no tearing, no friction?
It's hard to say. It's not been studied. The fact is, if you live long enough, you're going to start having problems with that area without the anal sex. You're going to have incontinence, you're going to have prolapse, you're going to have hemorrhoids. Now, you add to that in a sort of abnormal experience, whether it was painful or not, you could potentially be breaking down that tissue.
So the answer is there's no clear data on it. Certainly, the fact that you don't have any bleeding, pain, or tearing with it would suggest that you're not doing horrible damage.
No.
But still, you do it a whole bunch of times for a long period of time, and this might be a little fiddler.
At 25, she assumes she'll never be 75. But when she's 75 and her rectum falls out of her toy,
When you guys talk about... Well, I'll get that set.
Does she make acerotes every day? That's very important. I'm sorry. I have to...
is this Waldo there? is Waldo... No! He's over here! Alright, I'm frightened now.
Julie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Alright, now, how about the BM? Solid? Regular?
Everything's fine.
Nice texture?
I don't have any problems at all.
Okay,
all
right. Good.
I'm fine.
Let's have some insight to you.
Yeah.
I'm very curious now. Family? Parents?
Yes.
Together?
Married 30 plus years,
still together. Are they what do they do for a living?
Mother's a teacher.
Dad?
Father, he's an accountant.
I knew it. Okay. School teacher, mom, accountant, dad.
Does everybody sort of take care of dad?
I'm sorry?
Everybody kind of takes care of dad?
Not necessarily, no. Okay. He's fine, works Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
All right.
Yeah.
No alcoholics in the family?
No, none.
And when did you lose your virginity?
How old?
17.
17. Nothing before then?
No.
No physical? Dad never struck you?
No.
And no sexual abuse?
No.
All right. I'm curious where you got this sort of subservient part. You know, most women... And maybe you grew up in a family where did your mom take care of your dad? Did you rush to get the meals on the table and, keep a clean house and everything?
Oh, no, I see what you're talking about, but no, nothing ever like that. I mean,
it's not necessarily a bad thing. I just mean, what I mean?
It's odd. I'll say that. It is odd from what I do hear from girlfriends talking and from my husband talking about what his friends say. It's something that's not common.
Well, what about your husband? What's he do?
He's a police officer.
Now it's coming together a little bit. And why is it? Well, I got 1,000 theories about cops, but why is it? Do you think that he'd want to engage in this so regularly with you when he knows much of a fan of it?
Because he's asked me, "Are you okay with this? Do you want me to?"
No.
Stop?
Why would he want to do it?
Why would he want to
What's
do something with you? No, we know what's in it
for
him.
No, but really, what does he get out of it when it does nothing for you?
Well, no, that's not my question. I guess my question is, it's sort of half that, but it's mostly what kind of guy would want to do this with someone who knew you weren't a fan of it? Right. Doesn't that strike you as peculiar or a little bit suspicious?
No, not really. He's told me, he said, well, it's another hole. What guy wouldn't want another hole?
Here, I no interest. No interest.
I would, only with the Mexican midget.
No interest.
But there are a lot of people that I do hear talking.
Yeah, but listen, hey, Julie, you're not answering the question.
Okay. From what he told me, is it's another hole. Why not?
Yeah.
I know. It's another hole. It's a... Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's in denial.
Julie's ass is starting to slowly bleed out rectally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're starting to get a little insight. Yeah. And when you sort of corner her with a question, like, first off, the guy's a cop. That's always a bad sign. Why do you want to be with a guy who's doing something you don't want him to do 7-8 times a week? He said a hole's a hole.
Yeah, it's like, that's not an answer.
Julie, answer the question.
I did.
Here, no, your hole's a hole question is not the answer.
Well, he asked me, if you don't want to do this, tell me. If it bothers you that much, tell me.
Here's my question. Here's my question. All right,
10
listen.
10 seconds to answer.
I got 10 seconds. You said you don't enjoy this very much. Okay.
Because I get no sexual pleasure out of it, from what I understand.
Okay, just quiet down. Just quiet down.
No, well, that's not where a female G-spot is at, so of course it's not going to do anything.
Okay, you don't...
But to make my husband happy, that makes me happy.
Okay, so now you can hear the crazy
anger,
rap.
The anger,
now the weird rap coming.
Yeah.
Let me ask the question.
Oh, go ahead.
See, now she's angry.
Yeah.
Just quiet down.
Again, so go ahead.
Why is it, don't you find it a little suspicious that a guy that supposedly loves you wants to do something that you don't really enjoy very much so often?
Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
You're fine with that?
I'm fine with that.
All right. Okay. And you don't take a second look at him?
No.
All right. There's something wrong, Julie, in a big way with you, and you're not admitting it. But we know, or you're not seeing it, but there's something big. Big time, and we know it. So, before you have any kids, do you have any kids?
No.
Okay, don't have any kids for a while, and look into it, all right?
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Alana for coming in here tonight.
Thanks for having me, you guys. This was fun.
You're a saucy little mate.
Those accents, Adam, don't you? Yeah.
Fantastic.
You like it? You like my inner city women?
Sweet. Legally Blonde, everybody. Coming out on July 2nd. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones all week. Turner, call me Tara, goddammit. For doing a fantastic job on the phones and coffee. Junior, producer Lauren for doing something all week. Not sure what. Producer Ann for doing the bookings. And boy, do we got some good guests coming up. Jane's Addiction and Sharon Osbourne
I'm so
and Connie
jealous.
Wilson. We got a whole bunch of good people coming on the show. Alana was... I didn't word it right, but none compared to Alana. Thank
you. It's so cool.
And, of course, the Fast Finger Ones, Engine Anderson. So until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Let me look at that stubby ass. Yeah. Yeah. I'm close. No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.